Blog Talk Radio.
Found us again, the Sonic Effect, where this 119th day of the year, what year it is, how much does it matter? This is a place where you get to ask the questions of yourself. The answers that you supply aren't necessary to share with me. You alone know. You know about your commitment. You know about your work. You know whether you're doing enough and your true motives and your actions are taking care of yourself, taking care of others. You're the one that knows that. Whether I do or not is absolutely irrelevant, but this is a place where we try and get to the truth, whatever that is. Some music, some poetry, talk about things Masonic, things that might not be so approachable inside the walls of a lodge anymore, for a lot of reasons. If we had the perfect mixture of chemistry and personalities in every lodge, we'd all be sitting there with astounding ideas coming out and riveting, well-informed challenges and debate. Let's say that this is a sort of a substitute for some of that. And be very generous in our judgments about why that isn't occurring. That's really an expectation that pushes us out there. Well, today, 2018, we can take advantage of some new technologies to help us address that expectation. This movement ahead has always been part of the ethos of the piece. Here on the program, Dodge supports constitution based and staunchly curious about the event of masonry, that that event horizon that gave rise to the idea, the philosophy that needed the existence of a constitution. Enjoy. That was 1924, of course, West End Blues, James Oliver, featuring one of the first recordings ever of the horn playing Louis Armstrong. And that whole notion of doing those riffs, that was quite innovative at the time. And here every morning, on every time we listen to Masonic Effects, we tune it in. Just recharges the battery here. I have some interesting poetry by Percy Shelley that I think you're going to enjoy. I met a traveler from an antique land. Wherever you happen to be on the globe, I want to give you a shout out. It's an absolute pleasure to be able to connect with you and you with me. You have a desire to provide some feedback. It's at Masonic FX. All one word, masonicfx@gmail.com. It's as close as I come to a commercial break in this program. Although I have been thinking about getting sponsors for the program as we move forward. Anyway, just an acknowledgement, so you know the crew that's out there listening, so you have a sense of who you are in very general terms. I'm going to thank this list. These are the countries that listeners that tune into us: Austria, France, welcome again, Russia, yes, excellent, South Korea, hello, South Korea, and We're there watching your progress with history. That it, what's happening there is remarkable. And of course, you know that our best wishes and hopes are with you and North Korea. The UK, the UK, there's so much we could get into. And I love it that there's nothing uncomplicated, and yet everything is just so inspiring. I hope that you listeners from the UK are finding that balance of entertainment and information from the show. Philippines, hello. Yes, we have Busy Bee here in Canada now. It's a pleasure to have you tuning in, Masons. And Cameroon, nice to have you. You're fairly recent joiners, but it's wonderful that you're tuning in. China, of course. We need that connection with China. And if you don't mind me saying so, turn us over, examine us, look deeply into our eyes, and I think you're going to find that connection, a deep and riveting and wonderful connection with the principles and values, the ethics, the vitality of Freemasonry. Pleasure. I hope you're enjoying the program. The United States, India. Hello, India. Brazil, as ever. Hello, Brazil. Wonderful to have you tuning in regularly. Uganda. I hope you're smiling when you hear this, because we certainly are here. It's a beautiful connection with you. And of course, the country where we broadcast, Canada. And I must say, right now, Canada's had a lot of dying going on. And some of you may have heard, we've had a young sports team tragically injured and killed, and then we've had somebody running through pedestrians in our downtown area of one of our largest cities. And we're at the point where we're grieving and we're trying to come to terms with what was going on. For the listeners of Masonic Effects, coming to terms with things is more than our temper. And tempers are wonderful displays, particularly as we grow older. If we want to make ourselves look like fools, we can always trot out our tempers and puff out our chests. In our ears, when we do that, we should be hearing the words, old fool, or don't do that. Don't embarrass yourself. Right now, we're experiencing the gravitas, those things that happen in the world with such precision, these defining moments. How do we make sense of something that is incomprehensible? This is a country of about 38 million of us. When I was a little boy, we were, in the teens, maybe 16 million people, relatively small group of people, relatively homogenous, and we've come of age. And I like to think that we've attracted like-minded people from around the world, not in a colonialist fashion, but people looking for that harmony, to be able to enjoy and be inspired by the greatness of this country, the environment. We're not talking about some ego strength or some amassment of wealth. That's not what this country was built on, and it's not what it's about. This is the harmonics. So people come here. This is not going to be home. This is different. This is a different place to set down roots. This is like, for me, this is a place where I think everybody should be born, where you can be a careful and deliberate and deliberately good person. Your archaic notions of gender and relationships, leave those at the border. This is a place where we struggle and dance with the ideas that are progressive, encompassing. And it's hard, because when we talk about, it's not just like rhetoric, We're going to get more into this more on the program, but it's hard here because we're committing to ideas of inclusion, not the atomization of democracy. Everybody has a voice, but we can't join together if everybody is listening to everybody's voice. And it's not voices of an inspiration, it's voices right now of the expression of a sense of power that they've never had before. The power is somebody actually taking them serious and listening. And who does that better? Masons. We stand up, we don't have to, we're not weak-kneed about it. Somebody has an opinion, say it. We'll listen. If the boy or the girl needs to be heard, we are courageous enough to listen without providing judgment. Oh, it's hard when you have all of these wonderful, you're wrapped in all these wonderful principles in a world of ethics. It's difficult. It's a challenge. It's the work of masonry. Now, sit back, fill up your glass with your favorite whatever, and get serious for a moment. I'm going to ask you a question here. Do you, the things you do as a mason, are they to serve your community? Or are they more serving yourself? I don't need to know the answer to that. I don't need to hear the answer to that. You, in your heart of hearts, know. You know whether that effort to become a true Mason is there or not. You know. You know. So I want you to ask yourself that question as you listen to the program, as we get into it today. And if you need, we're grown-ups here. I don't mean the people that have a disease that need to ignore that and be silly. But if you can still enjoy a glass of wine or a beer or a cup of espresso, whatever it takes, or that, you know, if you're prone to, like I am, you have a glass of icy cold Perrier with a slice of lime. Oh, right now I'm going to top up my espresso, but here's a little bit of music. I don't do enough music from this quarter of the world, and very, very wonderful communities of Masons in this area. This is Havana Jazz, Roberto Carlos Valdez. I think you're going to like this. Check it out. Thank you. Sort of works on you, doesn't it? Eh? Yeah. It's Roberto Carlos Valdez. Thank you.
Thank you. And welcome.
We have an interesting commentary, so let's get right to it. There is, I believe, an evolution, as there always has been, within masonry. It never really stopped. I don't think there's any difference between the slot, the listeners here, and the Masons of the day. There's, if you think about the similarities between us, man, let's say we're 15th century Scottish fellows, and we're sitting down to have one of those thoughtful conversations. It's a nation that has monuments to writers and economists and thinkers, and it's a significant place in the lexicon of the development of masonry, and as history, we're asking those questions. You know, sometimes the first time we put a question out there, we don't get the answer. Sometimes the answers come after the second and third asking. And Scottish influence is certainly there. Remember, what goes on administratively encapsulated the nature of something, some kind of, and you tell me, was it a singularity? Was it at the time? Had it occurred because of the period of enlightenment or the Reformation or the counter-reformation? All those ingredients are necessary in this particular landscape, this particular neighborhood on the globe. Different places in the globe have different histories. Different people have different histories. So presuming that everybody should be in step and that one is ahead of the other is a bit smug and a bit naive in a way. People have their different histories, and those paths take all of us to the current state of being. But there are similarities. If we look for them, there are connections, things that we share in common as human beings. So let's give you a leg up here. You're going to be the jockey today, and you're going to ride this thoroughbred. And I'm just going to give you that leg up here. And what you do with that, that's up to you. But you're never going to be saying, well, you're never going to be able to tell the world that nobody ever helped you to think about this, or you never had an opportunity. Let's see what you can do with this. This is the commentary for today. Although I'm dying to share this poetry with you, but did you know our order has appealed to men with celebrity, rank, and high station? Ah, this is an old bromide, but one that has remarkable endurance. Philosophers teach their first-year students about the fallacious arguments. I recall having one of those aha moments when I realized what they were and how they were used. An appeal to celebrity, rank, or station is an example. You know, somebody was famous in their own right, and they were a Mason. So therefore, I can feel chuffed, and I have that association. So I must share some of that grandness. Nothing could be further from this. Just like trotting out a celebrity to hawk some goods. What do they know about, you know, environment? They don't know a little, you know. They may be a good actor. That doesn't mean they have any other kind of currency. So, the media uses that constantly. You know, it must be great if Frank is using it. Here is the question to ask. What qualifies an actor, a celebrity, or a person of rank to speak on any subject with authority? The answer, nothing. It does draw attention to our thoughts if somebody who is known to an audience agrees with us. I like it when Meryl Streep agrees with me, or I do. I think it's wonderful. Or when I can actually catch up with the work of Stephen Hawking and think, oh my goodness, you know, I agree with that that one sentence. You know, I can actually follow that understanding. I understand a Brink horizon. I understand a gravitational wave. You know, just for those fleeting moments, keeping that all in balance while I'm thinking about the broad universe, not there. No, I'm not going to tease you out. I'll leave that to you, geniuses. But I like it when somebody agrees, draws their attention. Accepting is a manipulative that quickly sucks the air out of our stuffed shirts. Accepting that notion that it draws our attention to our thoughts. This is how Freemasons come to understand disingenuous behavior on one hand, as well as authenticity on the other. People have the ability to observe, or they do not. So we ask ourselves, can it be taught? Can we teach every member to learn to be insightful? The simple answer is no. Nope. We can take him to the studio of talented artists. He may be repelled. He may be feeling he doesn't belong. All the mentoring in the world cannot overcome such resistance. Or he may be overwhelmed and unsure if he belongs, hesitates, and shies away. If he responds to mentoring, he can access talents he never knew he had. The one who comes with talent may not be the aggressive, competitive one. Though they attract attention, unless able to understand humility, they are less palatable. And then there is Masonry, Freemasonry. It defines ideals within the agency of a human, or what Campbell refers to as striving for bliss. If you know a man who goes quietly about his business, whether a lion or a lamb or somewhere in between, he inspires who is approachable and accepts us as an equal. What inspires? Certainly not hegemony, celebrity, fame, or wealth, and certainly not hubris. Masonry. For those of you who are prone to listening to some beautiful Hawaiian music, you'll be familiar with Izzy Kamakawili. This is one that you'll remember from 1993. Rest in peace, Izzy. Bluebirds fly.
Kamakawali, beautiful person. Rest in peace, Izzy. Gone all too quickly. Gone all too quickly. Yeah. Listen, check this out. Check this out. This is Ozymandias from Percy Busey Shelley. We often can think about be focusing on, as we should, on the day-to-day decisions and things that we need to do. It's the spirit that we bring to those tasks that helps to define us and helps to define our sense of satisfaction and purpose and understanding our place in the world around us. Why would thoughtful men, why would our ancients, the brethren before us, ever think that poetry and the arts and sciences were necessary, were vital, that would distinguish us, define us, and set us apart? Why? Well, once upon a time, I used to think that I didn't quite understand the nature of a university, but I thought that a lot of very bright people went there, and that if I was going to have any kind of epiphany or opportunity, it would be wise to be around people that knew far more than me, because hopefully it would rub off. And I like to think that it did. I'm old enough and candid enough. You know, when you get older, you can be a little more honest with yourself and with other people. You can look at them with a jaundiced eye when somebody's trying some crap, you know, trying to buffalo you with their own self-importance. But you're in the company of people that are thoughtful, and it's not for everybody. So we need to be aware as Masons that not everybody has ability. Remember, we preserve differences to distinguish and preserve subordination, and you know, to reward merit and ability. It's a gradient. Some people are enormously talented. Some people, it's like they're incubating for a long period of time, and some people struggle until they find that place, that fit, don't they? If can you imagine the dissatisfaction, you know, the drive to jump into one of the arts, to follow your muse, if your muse is mathematics? Only the distinction is we can tipple with ideas, but if we commit our entire being, our entire lives to these ideas, greatness occurs. Huh? How we do that, that differs. That differs. Because somebody did it in the past is not the format for anybody that follows. That's one way of doing it. And those experiments were done in the 30s and 40s, trying to produce genius. You know, if we follow these steps, follow this prescription, we will turn out genius. Well, we could teach children tricks, memory tricks, but the results were generally sad little people. but that was coming back from the day when a silent, quiet child was a happy child. So you just beat them into submission, the little darlings. In some places where that wreckage is still occurring around the world, a message to the kids, it does stop. And all that other stupidity is stupidity. You don't have to just think that you're the only one alone experiencing that. And life goes on. Here's Ozymandias. I met a traveler from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculpture well those passions read, which yet survive stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal, these words appear. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing besides remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. Hmm. 1960s, John Coltrane. What is there not to like, eh?
Thank you.
This is music from the 28th of March, 1960, recorded in Dusseldorf, West Germany. It's John Coltrane's first time in Europe, and he's sitting in with one of Miles Davis's first great quintets. This night, during this recording, Miles Davis was sat out for whatever reason. But, you know, we're listening to other music here. Just something about this. You feel the groove? It's the universal music here on Masonic Effects. The music that should never have been allowed to, it shouldn't have existed, because this is audacious. This is music of people who were treated in grotesque ways by early Americans. America still wrestles with its legacy of slavery. But listen to what these beautiful people created. They created a music of joy. Listen to the energy, the uniqueness, the music that should have been suppressed under the whip, or should have been suppressed because of the fear of a lynching. So when these people were coming back to America, they couldn't stay together with their white musicians. They had to go to black only or Negro hotels. But listen to what they gave us, this talent that resonates. In many ways, I think this is a very genuine form of expression of masonry, and I know some of you will stretch it out, but think about what I'm saying here. Let's move on with the little bit of John Coltrane. That's on Green Dolphin Street. Absolutely breathtaking to think that these guys were that good, and are, and they're still influencing musicians to this very, very day. We don't blame me for this. Don't blame me at all for wanting to be part of an order that has so many facets to it. Don't blame me. There's no overwhelm the moment. And we're not twitching like we have some kind of learning disability. Masonry's not built on that. It's just breathe the air. Take a deep breath. We're here on a program for the past couple of weeks, months, we've been looking at listening to discussions and reviews on symbolism and why, and the broader context. Why is that important to you? Well, these are open secrets, aren't they? The truths that we find are open secrets. There's no privacy here. There's no secrecy here about them. But to discover those secrets, what's it like for you when you discover, you begin to have those aha moments? when the light goes on? Are you walking around with all the pomp and circumstance of somebody that is pretending to be, because of their rank or their position, that they're supposed to be clever and all-being and all-knowing? Well, you know, that's superficial. In Masonic terms, we walk uprightly. We try and strive to do our best, but we work and operate and live with humility. And that appeals. That appeals to us. Today, we do a little piece, a little bit, and we strive to do a little bit better tomorrow. Not a great deal better, a little bit better. And every single day. Every single day. But that isn't predicated on motivation. That's predicated on belief. Do you believe? Do you want? You have to want it. If you want to find the best of your character, if you're dedicated to that, you will. And you know that these contexts are not playful. They can be. They're serious, and they take a bit of effort. You alone determine what that effort is, and whether you're making excuses or not, whether you're embracing that effort as fully as your talents and abilities will allow. And you know whether you've ever looked in the mirror and can say to yourself that you have given yourself your best shot, your best effort. Is it just that one moment, or was it a banquet? Was it a feast for you intellectually, emotionally? To give your best and sustain it in a way that it helps you to achieve balance in your life, meaning and understanding. Or the audience of Masonic Effects. All, 68,000 listeners over the years, 70,000?
Yeah.
Yep, that many. Here we're going to talk about some sacred numbers. Do you have a favorite color? Do you have a favorite song? Or do you have a favorite place that you like to be or walk? Are there things that trigger that contemplative nature? Is it a landscape? Is it being in a room full of people with noise and clatter and the clang of glasses and music going on in the background, where you can find that solace, where all of a sudden you're being the observer that nobody knows, self and other. It's the loneliness of being in a crowded room. Awareness. Do you have a sacred number? Oh, well, should I? I'm not asking whether you should or not. I'm saying, do you? Do you? Is it 2, or is it 10, or 9, or 7? And why? And what does that tell you? Well, I can't do that for you. You have to do the work. And then I would ask you the question, when you have those sacred numbers, what does that do for you? What can you do with that? How is that influential? Those darn Kabbalists. I want them to sit down with me and help me and coach me. Oh, now I have the internet to help me and assist in doing that. It's like that tree of life. What in the world? Now, you're a Mason. You're a good Mason. And you're a bit odd because you tune into Masonic Effects. And you're curious. You're curious. You tune in regularly. And you're absorbing music, curated music for the programming. And poetry, perhaps you would never have heard, listened to, or picked up something by Percy or Pushkin or any of the, or Wordsworth or Lem or any of the other poets. But what effect does it have on you and your mind? Even if you're in a rush and you're avoiding the things that will help you achieve that state of bliss, that potential and opportunity always rests within you and around you. That moment is there. I want to share with you a bit of information about some of the ancient philosophical doctrines that relate to the numbers, some particular numbers, 3 and 4. I mean, it occurs a number of times in later writers concerned about more mystical approach to Masonic symbolism. So if you're not prone to mysticism in Masonry, you might want to pull the blankets a little closer over your head don't close those eyes. You never know what's going to happen. This is about mysticism. Not the weird, you know, it did appeal to some very weird, some fringe characters over the years. That was before we were able to examine it and say that, you know, to really declare that is very strange thinking going on. So our history is replete with that kind of curious foolishness, like people that want to become members of the order for their own purposes, not to become any kind of spiritual acolyte, you know. The question of the ancient philosophical doctrines related to numbers 3 and 4 occurs a number of times from writers concerned with more mystical approach to Masonic symbolism. In particular, does it arise in the question of the modern apron design, where the basic square shape is regarded as representing the material and the triangular flap is spiritual. This design is very much later than the period when most of the symbolism arose. So the design was sort of an offshoot. And it's found no trace of such thoughts in earlier writings, either in connection with the apron or the tetragrammaton, which is used by late 18th century writers for illustration, and is usually enclosed on a triangle surrounded by a glory. But that does not prevent contemplation of this nature and what we find in Masonry today. The number 3 is a sacred number, that mysterious number which plays so great a part in the traditions of Asia and the philosophy of Plato, image of the supreme being, and to the philosophers, the most excellent and favorite number, a mysterious type revered by all antiquity and consecrated in the mysteries. Wherefore, there are but 3 essential degrees among Masons, who venerate on the triangle the most august mystery, that of the sacred triad, object of their homage and study. 3 also referred to harmony, friendship, peace, concord, and temperance, and was so highly esteemed among the Pythagoreans that they called it perfect harmony. The appearances of this mysterious number in the Masonic signs, symbols, and ceremonies is almost innumerable, and it will be a good exercise for you to see how many times you can discover this symbol in them.
Like for me, that line is like suggesting that it's like counting the dashes down the center of the highway.
Jeez. Really? All right. Having climbed up the first 3 steps and laid the foundation of your Masonic building, you see how a flight of 5 steps, replete with some profound meaning. For 5 is also a sacred number ever found in connection with 2 and with 7. Jesus is said to have fed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and the fragments there remained 12 baskets, that is 5 and 7. The 5 steps show on one side the 5 orders of architecture, on the other the 5 human senses. Now, when you hear of a sacred number, you think probably that this means nothing to you personally, but stop and consider that there means that that means nothing to you personally in the moment. That this number 5 is engraven in your being more than once. But examine yourself, and you find 5 fingers, 5 toes, 5 avenues through which the outside world can communicate with such mysterious being
who sits in the center of your consciousness and receives and translates. No man knows how the various messages carried through the brain by the nerves from the outside world. Not quite, eh? Seven is a particularly sacred number, having appeared in the religious and philosophical system of the entire ancient world. It also is engraved in your very being. From at the age of seven, you first showed understanding. At the age of 14, puberty is generally reached. At the age of 21, manhood is recognized. At the age of 28, full growth attained, and at the age of 35, physical vigor is highest. At 42, this begins to decline. At 49, man should have reached the height of intellectual strength, and at 70, he has reached the ordinary limit of human life. These figures are not only arbitrary, but the result of study and observation of men everywhere. So 7 days constituted the entire period of creation. Seven colors are found in the rainbow. You know, if you study this, you find out why that is. I'm smiling here. Let's just say nothing is quite as simple as it appears. 7 days in the week, seven lamps in the great candlestick of the tabernacle. The seventh year was a Sabbath at rest. And the year after, the seven times 7 year, was the year of Jubilee. So really, this is an outpouring, an expression of a Judeo-Christian type of ethic, isn't it? How does this link with the Confucianism, with the work of Aristotle and Plato and Confucius and Muhammad? How does this fit? The seven eyes of the Lord, says Zechariah, run to and fro through the whole earth. The ladder of the ancients, supposed to be that which Jacob saw in his dream, with the angels ascending and descending, symbolized the seven mystic spheres. The moon, Mercury, Venus, you guess the others, the sun, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, down which the souls of men came in their progress towards the earth, taking from each planet in particular its particular characteristic, and up which men must climb back towards God, leaving at each planet the earthly or lower attraction which they no longer need. The sevenfold purification being symbolized by the seven steps of King Solomon, which also symbolized the purification mentioned in the Kabbalah and the Hermetic writings. Oh my. Amazing. So it doesn't necessarily have individual meaning for us when we hear this. It doesn't. But what does it do? Where does it fit? And is this the time when you need to make that fit or find that or not? Well, I'm just saying. We're on these interesting pathways, and we have some sense of purpose. You notice it when you're around younger people. You go onto a campus, and you see everybody moving in very earnest across the courtyard and the promenades and down the halls. There's an earnestness and an energy and an intensity. It's amazing. It's amazing. And when you look for it in a room full of men in their 70s, people in their 70s and over, you can see it, but not everywhere. Some are distracted by the aches and pains and moans of old age, and others are still, that's cup half empty. And others are still striving for that cup half full, that genius, that inspiration, that connection that feeds them. Once upon a time, I discovered a singer, and I haven't done this on the program before. When I heard this woman singing, it was as if I was alone in the world and she was singing directly to me. Hello. See what you think. I know. That's me, eh? And I was young and foolish at the time. This is from a recording done the year I was born. This is from Columbia Records in 1949. This is a song called Black Coffee, and it's by Sarah Vaughan. Been as scintillating as that voice. Can't say that. Sitting at home with your oven. Times change. Well, I hope you've liked the program today. I do. It's been a pleasure to bring this to you. We're having a good time. Nowhere I've looked, nowhere is it written that Masonry is supposed to be dull and somber and done in the by sucking the fun out of life around. Nobody ever said that. Remember, Masonry took a circuitous path to us here in where I am in the world, and maybe to where you are. The potential, what it could be, that's within you. That's within you. Don't be looking to somebody else to do that work for you. In the meantime, commit those acts of random Masonic kindness. You know, make Jerry Garcia and the boys and girls very, very happy. We're going to plunge in. We're moving forward with Masonic Effects, trying to keep up with you lot. And to the world out there, the audience, thank you very much for tuning in. I hope we've been able to be useful today.
and let you get on with your day. If you want to listen to a bit more of this, by all means, it's a pleasure. See you again soon.